God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You. Yes, yes, yes. I see you. And even you, I am so grateful to God that we have another opportunity to be able to share during the midweek power nugget. We have been through things that we have pulled off of our strength, have pulled off of our tenacity, has caused us to be a little tired. And so we have the opportunity on this morning during the midweek power nugget to allow God's word to restore power unto us, that we may be able to go a little farther. Let us pray. Gracious God, we glorify you today and we give you praise for simply being God in our lives. We thank you, God, for this day, a day we've never seen before. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you, God, for just keeping us safe throughout the night. We didn't have to keep waking up, walking through, making sure that things were all right, because you were on the case. You never sleep, you never slumber, and you love us enough that you will continuously look out for us, and we are grateful. God, thank you. Thank you for all that you brought us through these last few days, God. God, you met some of us on Sunday when we were at our various houses of worship, God, and we've gone through, and we may have had our devotionals, and we may have had our prayer time, and some of us may have even visited Bible study. But God, it's nothing like getting the word as much as we can. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now, God, we came hungry. We came hungry this morning, and we need to hear from you. We need a touch from you. We need a word from you, a word that will quicken our mortal body, a word that will strengthen us for the journey, a word that will encourage us when we're weak, a word that will speak life to those dead places, a word that will water the dry patches, a word, God, that we know that you have already tailor-made to set forth what it is that it needs to accomplish in our lives. And God, we're going to thank you. We're going to thank you before we get that word. We are going to thank you for what it is the word will do for us, in us, and to us. God, bless those that thought it not robbery to take of their time this morning, God, to come and hear what you have to say. God, speak to them, and they will be spoken to. We give you glory. We give you honor. We do, God, give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Excuse me. Again, we bless the Lord for just another day in this life's journey. On this morning, we are going to travel to the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark. We're going to go to the 8th chapter. We're going to start at the 22nd verse. Mark 8 and 22. And we will read it from a couple of versions on this morning. Mark 8 and 22, if you are following along in your word. Starting in the New American Standard Bible, it reads as follows. And they came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him, meaning implored Jesus to touch the man. Taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on them, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see men, for I see them like trees walking around." Then again he laid his hands on his eyes and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he, Jesus, sent him to his home saying, "Do not even enter the village." If I were to read that from the Passion Translation, it reads as follows. Again, Mark 8, starting at verse 22. When they arrived at Bethesda, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, begging him to touch him and heal him. So Jesus led him as his sighted guide outside the village. He placed his saliva on the man's eyes and covered them with his hands. Then he asked him, "Now do you see anything?" "Yes," he said, My sight is coming back. I'm beginning to see people, but they look like trees, walking trees. Jesus put his hands over the man's eyes a second time and made him look up. The man opened his eyes wide and he could see everything perfectly. His eyesight was completely restored. Then Jesus sent him home with these instructions: go home, but don't tell anyone what happened, not even the people of your own village. Let me give you one more. The message. Again, starting at verse 22, they arrived at Bethesda. Some people brought a sightless man and begged Jesus to give him a healing touch. Taking him by the hand, he led him out of the village. He put spit on in the man's eyes, laid hands on him, and asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up. "I see men. They look like walking trees." So Jesus laid hands on his eyes again. The man looked hard and realized that he had recovered perfect sight, saw everything in bright 20/20 focus. Jesus sent him straight home, telling him, "Don't enter the village." And the word of the Lord is blessed. With a few moments that I have left, I want to share with you from this simple message: let God fix your sight. Let God fix your sight. You all, many of you all know, if you are members of His House Worship Center, that I went through a couple of procedures a few months ago to fix a condition of my sight. I had developed cataracts, and so my sight had become rather grainy, and it was like a sheet was over my eyes, a film. I could not see light clearly. And so they did the procedure on one eye 1 month, and then the next month they did the procedure on the other eye. And before they did the procedure, they let me know that as soon as the procedure would be done, I would see a difference in my sight. But what they also shared with me was that not only will you be able to see light the way that you should, but the condition that you carried all your life since you were a child, much of that would be resolved as well. Many people don't know that I've been wearing corrective lenses since the age of 8, but could not see well prior to that either. My sight was so bad that it looked as if you were always always submerged in water and trying to look a distance through water. And so when I had the procedures done on my eyes, not only did it allow the light to come through my eyes, but it also corrected my sight that I had been struggling with for over 50 years. And there's another aspect of that I'm going to share with you in a moment, but I want to talk about how the world plays so much emphasis on what we can see with our natural sight. And you all, it is so easy to get caught up in what's directly in front of us. The challenges, the pressures, the expectations, the things that are in our sight that we see that tends to slow our progress. But you all, as believers, we are called to see things differently. And in this passage of Scripture, we find a story about a blind man who receives his sight in two stages. And it is a powerful illustration of how spiritually we don't always see things clearly at first. And sometimes our natural perspective needs to be transformed into a spiritual one. So let's very quickly look into the story and see how God wants to fix our sight, not just in a physical sense, but in the way we see and understand the world around us as Christians, as believers. In this pericope, Jesus encounters a blind man when he's in Bethesda. The blind man's friends bring him to Jesus and ask Jesus to heal him. And so he takes him outside of his village. He takes him outside of his normal circumstance, his normal environment. Can I put a pin right there? Sometimes in order for God to fix your sight, change your sight, he's got to take you someplace else. They didn't come to my house. They didn't come to my church to do the procedure. I had to go to a place that was conducive for them to be able to fix my sight correctly. Now, after spitting on the man's eyes and laying hands on the man, Jesus asked the man, "Do you see anything?" The man said, "I see men, for I see them like trees, and they're walking around." You all, he's getting his vision back, but it's blurry. It's not quite right yet. And you all, this story, this part of the story, reflects how we often see things through our natural eyes. Before we come to Jesus, or even when we're still growing in this thing called faith, our understanding is limited. And we see the world through a lens of human logic, human emotions, human experiences. And we may recognize some things about God, but our spiritual vision is incomplete. We ought to be able to relate to this man. We see shapes, but we don't see it with clarity. But then Jesus comes back in verse 25 and he lays hands on the man's eyes again. And now this time his sight is restored completely. He sees things clearly, everything clearly. This second touch from Jesus represents the deeper work of spiritual sight. You all, it's not just about seeing what's around us, but it's about understanding things from a heavenly perspective. And you all, that perspective takes time and it takes transformation for God to adjust our vision so we can see things as he does. Ephesians 1 and 18 speaks to this. It says, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, may be open, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, Paul isn't talking about physical sight, but he's talking about the eyes of the heart, our spiritual perception. And you all, because when God fixes our spiritual sight, we begin to see beyond the surface. We have that sight beyond sight, and we can see into the deeper things of his kingdom. And you all, as the scripture says, once the man's sight is fully restored, he's able to see people. He's able to see the world around him clearly. And this reflects the transformation God wants for all of us, to move from seeing things in a blurry, incomplete way to seeing with spiritual clarity. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we walk by faith, not by sight. You all, our natural sight is based on what we can perceive with our eyes and our minds. But then our faith invites us to see beyond that, see beyond the bills, see beyond the doctor's report, see beyond the fractured relationships. Faith helps us to recognize God's hand in our situations that may look uncertain to us. You all, when God fixes our spiritual sight, we stop being governed by what's visible, by the challenges, the fears, the uncertainties, and we start focusing on his truth. That's why we have to set our minds on things above. Remember, he told them to look up. Set your mind on things above and not on things that are of this world. Let me share with you one more thing, and then we're going to get out of here. You all, I realized that not only was my sight restored, but you all, my perception of colors were restored. There were many things that I thought were black that were really blue. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? The acuity of how I saw colors changed. You all, God will continuously adjust our vision if we let him. Sometimes we need multiple touches from God to see clearly. That means that we should always be willing to to let him adjust our vision. I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus. There are still some areas where our sight can grow clear. You all, I want to encourage you today. Let God adjust your vision. Let him fix your sight. Let us pray. Gracious God, we glorify you today and we give you praise. God, thank you. Thank you, God, for always putting your eyes, your hands on our eyes. Help us, God, to realize that even when we can't see it the right way, that we can ask you to give us a sight adjustment. We can ask you for wisdom when we lack wisdom. God, to get your insight in areas where we may still be seeing things through a blurry lens. God, help us to walk in faith and not by sight. And God, help us to trust you along our journey. Be with us as we go about our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazing week. God bless day. In Jesus' name.